Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Besides all the wars that went down in those games, you know, you think about the greats on both sides. Jack Tatum is... he's already a Buckeye, so I know about him. But he was a hard-hitting guy that was the guy that represented the Raiders. You know, he was the guy laying the hits, and Mean Joe's the same way here. Those are just two of the greats that stand out to me when I think about this rivalry. And, you know, it's just there's a lot of games to look forward to. But when these two teams meet, there's a lot of history that passes along with that.
What's on Tap is brought to you by Fatheads Brewery. Cam Hayward, Steelers defensive captain, Walter Payton Man of the Year Award finalist on Pittsburgh and Oakland, the Steelers' last trip to the Bay Area. They won't play them again. Next time they play on the road against the Raiders, they'll be in Las Vegas.
And I would make a prediction you'll be at that game.
You know, Craig told me today he's never been to Las Vegas, which shocked me because he's one of the biggest degenerates I know.
I was going to say, if there's ever been a city that was built for things Craig likes, namely drinking light beer,
Craig would throw
gambling,
his mom into oncoming traffic to win a DraftKings contest for $2.
Well, the reasoning is I want to do it right if I go. I don't want to be on some sort of like tight budget. It is a very degenerate reason.
Oh, you can
reason.
Do Vegas on a budget, my friend.
I don't want to. I want to do it big.
Yeah, you can. I think it's fun
You're
to go to the O'Shea's of the world.
Go to
Alex.
No, I don't mean like where I'm staying.
No,
I mean placing large bets.
I understand. Listen, when you go to a sports book, Craig, bottom line is you can throw a bunch of like $5, $10 bets down. For $50, you can have a whole hell of a lot of fun going watching that big screen. Point being, you need to go to Vegas. It's Alex's favorite city in the world.
Really?
She loves Las Vegas.
I did not have your wife pegged.
Loves.
Man, your wife keeps going up in my book.
Loves Las Vegas. I know, I'm a big fan of hers as well.
That's huge.
Cam Hayward, by the way, not exactly a surprising candidate to have a good sense of the history with these two teams. I think this is one of the classic matchups in all, not just, and it doesn't happen often, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one of the classic matchups, not just in the NFL, but in all of sports, not just because of each team's tradition, but because of what they have represented throughout the years to so many people. Like, I love that this, I hate that the Raiders suck, but I love that this game exists and that the dynamics that these two teams bring to the table exist.
So when you hear Steelers Raiders, as somebody that never watched these two teams play in the 70s, what springs or comes to mind for you?
The very, very first thing that comes to mind is always Al Davis's face. Just like...
which looked like a melting candle at the end.
Listen, I say this with respect because... well, not with respect when you hear what I say, but I loved Al Davis, especially as I got older. He looked like the Crypt Keeper at the end, and he probably would have told you that. But I think of Al Davis and the figure he kind of cast over the league. I think of what the stuff he did with like Art Shell and just what a... you know... as a kid, it was like, oh, there's Art Shell, the coach. You have no idea that I think, wasn't he the first blackhead coach in the NFL? So I think of all that stuff. And what I think of also is my mom and dad, my mom from Cleveland, dad from Pittsburgh, getting married in the mid-70s. And my mom telling me in the present day or in recent years how much she loved as a Browns fan who hated that the Steelers turned the tables on them in the 70s, how much she loved Kenny Stabler. Because there she could live vicariously, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and she could live vicariously through occasionally the snake, Kenny Stabler, torturing the Steelers in certain big games. So I think of that. I just think of the whole Raiders imagery, man. I think of the Steelers, too. Terrible towels on one hand. Oh, here's Darth Vader and a bunch of guys dressed like they're doing bondage scenes after the game is over. Like, I love... One is... and this is what makes it so great. One is quote-unquote good, the Steelers, pious. The other is renegade.
Yeah, it is a classic good versus evil matchup.
But the best part is I've started to think that the evil side of this is actually the side that's been more on the right side of things throughout history.
Yeah, well, I'm not one of these Star Wars nerds, but isn't that why so many people like the second Star Wars movie? Isn't that why so many people like the second Star Wars movie? Because in that one, bad kind of triumphed over, or yeah, bad beat good, right? Weren't they in a...
Empire Strikes Back is thought of
what
as...
What am
the...
I talking about
no,
right
no, no,
now?
No, 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 no. No, the Empire... Relax.
Luke Skywalker.
I'm out on that stuff, too.
You hate Avenger... You hate Marvel superhero movies? Let me explain. Empire Strikes Back is thought of as the best of those three movies because, yes, the bad guys basically win.
Right.
And the good guys are on the run. And it is easily, of the three, the most emotionally nuanced and complex of those films. And that's... You have to have teams like the Raiders for the way that they are consumed by the general populace.
The Renegades.
Yes, for sports to be compelling, though. You've got to have bad guys.
Yeah.
Like, I could sit here and bag for 2 hours on Krzyzewski and Duke. That's because they're a great bad guy. The Raiders are like the stone cold of the NFL.
They had a sign in their Santa Rosa practice complex in the 70s that said, we have two rules. Rule number one, try to cheat. Rule number two, see rule number one.
I love that, man. Al Davis had the grit. And
when
Davis,
they would play teams like the Bills and O.J. Simpson, they'd water down the turf so it would make it harder for him to run.
It's charming when they do it, not when Notre Dame grows
turf. They would change the color of their pads to match the opposing team's jersey to make it harder to tell if they were holding or not. I mean, they came up with they were deflating footballs before it was in vogue with
to
the
me,
Patriots
there's something
to try
charming
to win.
There. There's they, something charming.
They always looked for an edge. Well, they did a lot of steroids too, but
just
I guess
win, baby.
A lot of teams did.
The best slogan.
When I think of Steelers Raiders, I think I missed it. Like that's the first thing that comes to mind for me is I missed out on all of it, and that makes me sad. Like, you have NFL Films, which has done such a tremendous job of encapsulating and romanticizing this rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
And I would watch those things as a kid, and I still watch those things now. And I would, and it would make me jealous and envious of people who lived through this. They met in the playoffs for five straight years, starting with the Immaculate Reception game. And I just think... Maybe that rivalry was professional football at its best, and maybe that brand of football in the 70s was the sport at its best.
Oh, man.
You know, I mean, I can't really bounce that off you because we're the same age, but...
Well, I think it's a broad-based opinion you could throw out there. You knew that it wasn't as heavy on the pass. You knew that it was very much more about defense. It's a personal preference thing. I like what we see now,
yeah,
but I wish there was a little element of it.
But think about how your mom looked at Stabler.
Yeah.
And think about the players that were involved. Right. I mean, Stabler and Bradshaw are in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And their numbers weren't always pretty in those games, and typically one or both of them got knocked out of the game.
That was part of the allure, was knowing that if you were a Steelers fan, even though Kenny Stabler drove you nuts, there was a good chance he was going to get his.
If you look up box scores of Steelers-Raiders games from the 70s, they almost always have two quarterbacks mm-hmm. in them. LaMonica, Stabler, Bradshaw, Hanratty, Bradshaw, Gilliam, Hanratty, Gilliam. You always see, like in the early part of that rivalry in the 70s, you always see two guys because it was so vicious and it was so ruthless. And like we now project on professional athletes, like we want the Steelers to hate the Ravens, or we want the Steelers to hate the Patriots. And I think back then they actually did hate each other.
Oh, I mean, we talked yesterday with Ed about how the Rooneys hated. I mean, capital H hated Al Davis. You know what is so, you know what embodies their rivalry for me? The fact that the best Steelers team in most people's minds of all time lost to them in 76.
Yeah.
And what was the cause of the loss in most people's brains? Not the fact that the Raiders had a better scheme that day or whatever. It was that injuries were the factor.
Yeah, Reggie Harrison played.
Well, yeah, but like no Blyer, no Harris.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Harrison was the running back that day.
You've got injuries. I couldn't have named who the Steelers running back was that day in a million years, by the way. I would have said Jack Delaplane.
It was their version of Stephen Ridley.
I would have said
it was their Trey Edmonds. The best thing Chuck Knoll said about Reggie Harrison is that he had played some football.
I would have said Jack Delaplane because I went to school with his son and Jack was a Steelers running back.
Right.
But, like, when you talk about a rivalry and one of the most famous editions of it or famous games, and you say, well, one team lost because both of their starting running backs were injured, and I know it didn't happen, like, in the game or whatever, But that is so emblematic of what that was all about.
Yeah.
I think the purest rivalry in the AFC's history.
I'd have to go back and double check this. I'm almost positive in 76 that the Steelers had to win the last week of the season to get the Raiders in the playoffs. Like, if they had looked at the game like today's teams and benched all their starters the final week of the season and lost, the Raiders would have missed the playoffs that year. But they went for it and won. They both got in, and then the Raiders beat them in the AFC Championship game.
Wait, the 76 Raiders?
I'm almost positive.
The 76 Raiders went 13-1.
Okay, so then not the 76 Raiders.
That was another
incarnation of the Raiders then.
Correct.
No, that was the year they finally got payback.
Yeah.
For the Steelers, having
I think
kept
this
them
is
out
the purest rivalry in the AFC's history.
Of course.
I think this is the purest rivalry in the history of the AFC. I think it's the best rivalry in the AFC, and I think the only modern imitation of it we've seen, although one team didn't, well, they sort of had a renegade thing, but that was because of Ray Lewis, is Steelers Ravens. Sort of.
But I still think it pales.
Well, it does, because neither team was
such
considered
a cheap imitation of Steelers Raiders.
It would be. The only thing you could have right now, you know what actually is closer, but it didn't have the physicality, is Colts-Patriots, like early 2000s.
And that was more quarterback versus quarterback.
Correct.
That was Manning against Brady.
And
it wasn't really Patriots-Colts.
Steelers-Raiders was about some sort of vague ideal above everything else. Like, you say quarterback-quarterback there. This was franchise and what it stands for versus franchise and what it stands for.
Yeah.
Dan Rooney, the Steeler way. Versus just win, baby. Yeah. One of the most famous plays in NFL history is the Holy Roller. It's
right.
An illegal play.
Well, you know what I think about when you say that? The Raiders were a bunch of badasses, and they just owned it. Like, yeah, we've got Kenny Stabler, who shows up at the team breakfast only because he was out the entire night.
Correct.
And comes strolling in and eats like some scrambled eggs before he plays in a postseason game. And the Steelers had this, like, idealistic kind of like, we do things the right way, but they kind of didn't.
Ernie Holmes.
Right, but they didn't have that.
The Steelers were the choir boys
reputation.
Publicly,
right.
But they weren't really. I always, at least as an adult, I respect the teams, even if I don't like them, that just own what they are. The Raiders swashbuckled. They were the NFL. You know who they were the real precursor to? The U in college football. They were the pro sports version
I don't think we've ever had a team in professional sports that maybe matched the team's logo and nickname as well as the Raiders.
Oh, I don't think it's even
like
close.
Like, that's what they're called, and that's how they acted.
Maybe the Cowboys with the, but the Raiders they were a team of renegades.
And I think to myself, I missed it. I think I would have loved it. And it is still a quote-unquote rivalry today, in the sense that when the teams play, it usually goes either way. Game's in Pittsburgh, the Steelers win, and if the game's in Oakland, the Raiders win. Even though the Raiders have one winning season in the last 16 years.
Yeah, and that's a bad commentary on the Steelers.
But from that perspective, that's why it's better than Steelers-Browns. The Steelers always beat the Browns. They've taken advantage of Cleveland's misery. Mm-hmm. The Steelers haven't taken advantage of Oakland's misery.
No, in fact, I would argue that the worst Oakland team we've seen in a while was the Terrell Pryor team. And Ryan Clark is still chasing that zone read fake. By the way, I'll say this one last thing, because I know your take was you feel like you missed it. I do feel like I don't know if people in the 70s, maybe this is a good question to throw out at 412-928-9370, because this is a theory. When you were watching those games in the 70s, did you realize that what you were watching was that great was going to be remembered down the road 45 years later as that iconic? I'm genuinely curious if people knew in the moment that what they were watching was something special.
Cam Hayward, waxing poetic on Steelers Raiders, brought up Jack Tatum and Mean Joe Green and what this game meant more than 40 years ago. They haven't met Pittsburgh-Oakland haven't met in the playoffs since 76. They met one year in the 80s when the Raiders were in L.A., and the two teams have rarely been good at the same time. So maybe if you're of our generation, you don't even really think much of Steelers-Raiders. But what does it mean to you? When you hear Steelers-Raiders, what do you think of? What does it mean to you?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.